Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. We talk about animal shelters in Chicago all the time. We talk to the leaders of those shelters. But I want to focus on cats. Treehouse Humane Society. But first, this could be the most exciting day in my life because on the telephone now is Nancy Faust. I love her.
Oh, you're too kind.
No, Chicago loves you, Nancy.
Oh, it is so, I love Chicago.
Well, it is so great to talk to you. Of course, Nancy Faust played the organ for how many years with the Chicago White Sox?
I was with the White Sox for 41 seasons. I started in 1970 when John Allen owned the team and hired me. And then I retired in 2010.
Something like that. Well, you know, but you'll never be retired in our hearts. I mean, we just love you. We have great affinity. I mean, you were the first organist to actually play pop music. You started the whole na-na, hey-hey, goodbye thing. And in addition to that, you always had conversations with the fans. Whose idea was it to put you right there so you're chatting with fans as you were working the organ?
Wasn't that wonderful? It really worked to my benefit because I knew so little about baseball. But it was actually Bill Veeck's idea when he owned the team the first time back in the 60s, I think. And he hired the first organist, Jay Torrent, and he placed them out with the fans, which is unusual, although he put them out in center field. So when I came along and I took his place and I was positioned in center field, there were very few fans around me because at that 1970 season was probably the lowest ever attendance-wise. It was actually a wonderful year for me to break in because, like I said, I really didn't know what I was doing. In fact, I remember, I mean, I was told that the first game when the PA guy asked everybody to stand for a moment of silence, well, I just ripped out the national anthem. I just saw people standing and there was the national anthem. So I really knew very little of. But it was a third year that Harry Carey convinced everybody, the management, to bring me in behind home plate. And by then, the crowds had increased, and I had a great camaraderie with everybody.
Oh, you sure did. Now, you mentioned Bill Veeck, and people are thinking, well, this is the pet show, right? Well, Nancy is a huge animal lover, which is how I know Nancy Faust. But explain how Bill Veeck had something to do with the fact that today you have a donkey.
Well, that is correct. I never imagined I would. However, back in the 70s, now that was the second time that Bill Veeck owned the team, and he was known for his wacky, unconventional promotions, which seemed to take place practically every game. You know, he'd have a circus day or an anti-superstition day or a country day or a Greek day, all the different ethnicities, and there was always something that he was celebrating. And with all these promotions, he'd give door prizes to keep the fans engaged. You know, they'd keep their ticket and maybe win something. So besides enjoying a game, you were enjoying this little sideshow of all these promotions. Well, back in 1977, one of his promotions was a ragtime night. And one of the door prizes was a donkey. They marched this donkey, old swayback donkey, into the field. It was more of a joke, I guess. And it was actually, it was contributed to the park by one of the amusement parks, one of the Chicagoland music, one of the Chicagoland parks.
Sure.
Thinking they'd get it back, I suppose, because it was there to entertain kids. But anyhow, nobody claimed that donkey, but it was still in the field the next day. It was still behind, down in the dumpster eating caramel corn or something. And when I saw it, I said to Bill, is there any way I could win that donkey and take him home for myself? And he said, yeah, you could be the winner. So he let me have that old swayback donkey, and I brought her home because I already had a horse, and I thought this would be nice company, and it was. And that's when I became familiar with the value of donkeys. Not only was it a wonderful companion for my horse, but it was a very sociable and enjoyable companion for everybody that met her. And it was funny because I named her Rosie, but my neighbor, Mexican fella, who said, I said, this is Rosie, your new neighbor. And he said, oh, Rosita, what a beautiful name. So we named her Rosita. We changed her name. And we had Rosita for many years until she passed away. But that's what began my appreciation and love of donkeys.
Well, right. You still have at least two donkeys now, or?
Well, what happened was I did about 20 years ago. Then when we built a place in Lake County, little home with that could accommodate horses again, or a donkey at least. And I placed an ad in a rural paper saying wanted donkey for a loving home. And a woman responded. I got one response, and she said, I have two rescue donkeys. You're welcome to take one of them. So that's how my relationship with my new donkey, Mandy, began, and that was 20 years ago. And actually, so she brought Mandy over to her house, and I tried to walk her up my driveway, and she was just unruly, and I almost sent her back. I said, I think I've bit off more than I could chew. This is nothing like Rosita. Mandy didn't like the fact that she was being taken to a new home, and but I persevered, and pretty soon she started to trust me, and vice versa, and it was a beautiful relationship. There was nothing she wouldn't do for me. It just takes time and patience to understand the workings of a donkey, which is unlike a horse.
All right, so when we come back, here's what I want to know. I want to know what donkeys are really like. Taking your dog to the ballpark, that started in Chicago. That is
brainstorm of yours, if I'm not mistaken,
You are not, but I want to talk about that when we come back. And I want to know also what Bill Veeck was really like, what Harry Carey was really like, and if you truly would party on Rush Street yourself with Harry Carey. We're going to find all of that out when we come back with Nancy Faust on WGN. The great Nancy Faust is here. You know her. She's the one who played the organ for all those years for the Chicago White Sox, going back to Comiskey Park. What? This is a crazy, unfair question, but I will ask anyway because I started. What is your best memory of being out there?
What I liked most was my interaction with fans. I love the fact that I was brought in behind the home plate and then surrounded by knowledgeable fans. They seemed to just react so favorably to everything I did, but that was probably because I played whatever they requested, and they came up with such great ideas for players, because I liked to reflect either a player's name based on his personality, his number, his last name, his ethnic, or whatever, and they just seemed to know so much. So that was a favorite part, was meeting the fans, and I have to say that after having been there 40 years, I witnessed the generations go by. Mm-hmm. I see little kids grow up and become parents and bring their children.
Wow.
And soon I had people coming and saying, you are my grandfather's favorite. And I think that was a clue that perhaps it's time.
How did Na Na Hey Hey come about?
Well, that started actually, I believe, when the Southside Hitmen were active. And the Sox were vying for first place.
What were the Southside Hitmen? It doesn't sound good.
Well, they were doing surprising things and making a lot of hits. I guess that's how I would summarize that.
Okay, so it wasn't a bunch of thugs or anything like that.
No, but it wasn't anything anybody expected. They just rose to doing wondrous things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in first place in August, vying for first place, playing Kansas City. And when the Kansas City removed a pitcher, I happened to play Na Na Goodbye. And just we got such a reaction that we had never received at a ball game. And it kind of stuck with us. Then other parks started doing it to taunt us. They'd play it on a recording. And it just kind of stuck with us as a theme song for quite some time. I don't know if they're still using it, but it became very popular. In fact, so much so that Mercury Records and presented me with a gold record when they re-released the song.
How nice! That is wonderful. Now, we were talking about, before the commercial break, donkeys, of which now you've had a few. What is the... Tell me about having... because I am told I've never had a donkey. that they're incredibly intelligent and they bond so, so intensely with people.
They do. It doesn't happen overnight, and it certainly takes a lot of patience on the person that has the donkey to realize what's going on in their heads. I know they, like dogs, I think dogs sense what's going on with all of our emotions. I wish sometimes we could get into their heads. But donkeys are great because they're very cautious, and they will never put themselves in harm's way. And just one little fun fact is that when you go to the Grand Canyon and you ride those mules down to the Grand Canyon,
yeah.
Well, those mules are half donkey, half horse. Mm-hmm. And the donkey part is the part that makes them so sure-footed. And there's never been an accident with a donkey or with a mule at the Grand Canyon falling over into the Grand Canyon, although people do it all the time. But you can be sure you'll be safe with that donkey. And donkeys, I mean, you have to have their trust, and then they'll do what you ask them to do. But if you ask the donkey to walk on a piece of ice, there's no way they would do it. They would never, or if they were met with a situation that they're not sure about, rather than run from it, they'll freeze and assess it and then move on. And they're just fabulous.
I'm told it's better than having a watchdog, however, that they'll defend you very effectively if there were a need to be.
That is the case. And in fact, on ranches, of course, inherently it seems donkeys don't take to four-legged creatures. So on ranches, they might be put a donkey out there to protect the sheep from coyotes or wolves and things like that.
And they do.
They'll chase the coyote off.
Yeah, I mean, people wouldn't think that who don't know. But these guys, I mean, I've seen videos of donkeys in Africa that have chased off leopards. I mean,
that's true. They're fearless.
Yeah.
And they will protect you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I've heard.
I can't say enough. And they're easy keepers. They don't require quite the kind of feed that a horse would. They just have grass, hay, and low-protein pellets. And as far as farriers go, well, farriers are the people that put shoes on horses. Because donkeys' feet are a little softer, they don't put shoes on their feet. But I keep them trim. Farrier would come out every 8 to 10 weeks to trim their feet. Because mm-hmm. otherwise they'll grow like a toenail and not be good.
Yeah, yeah. Taking your dog to a ball game. No one would have ever thought that this would even be possible. And now I think every minor league team does it. And nearly every major league team does that as a promotion once or twice a year. And you're right. I had something to do with that. You being such a dog lover, you must have loved all those days where people would do this.
Well, they'd parade the dogs around the field before the game, and they'd have them in their White Sox garb. And that was my opportunity to play many, many dog songs that I could think of. You want to name a few?
Sure.
Let me think. Like You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, or the theme from Lassie, or how about Snoopy, or Bingo Was His Name, or How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? I guess there's more. I Could Talk to the Animals, which, by the way, Steve,
yes.
I think that would be your walk-up song, is If I Could Talk to the Animals.
So did you think of having a walk-up song for everybody? And how did you associate, and then how did you play? So if the song, let's say, Talk to the Animals, right, that Sammy Davis Jr. sang back in the day. And if I were to say, Nancy, could you play that song now in theory?
As long as I know the melody, sure, I could play it, even if I've never played it before, because I don't read music. But if I know a melody of a song or a commercial or an advertisement or a theme song from a movie, sure, I'll just play it.
How do you do
that? Sometimes it's up to the fan to give me the idea because I may not have thought of it. But, like somebody said, ball player named Dee Sarcina, and fan said, have you seen her? And I thought, brilliant, I wouldn't have thought of that. But I knew the melody to Have You Seen Her for Dee Sarcina.
The Shy Lights song, Have You Seen Her, from 1971,
yeah.
I think.
You know more than me about that, Steve.
Well, it's because
I thought you were just an animal guy.
It's because I played music on the radio way back in the day, so I know those songs. But if someone were to play you like a Taylor Swift song, you could then go to the organ and play it after just hearing it?
Yeah, like Anti-Hero or I Knew You Were Trouble When You Walked In. Sure, I could do those.
And
because they apply to a ball game, which I'm still doing occasionally for a minor league team here and there.
Well, they're lucky to have you if that's the case. Tell me what Bill Veeck was really like.
I think he was really a brilliant guy. I understand he liked growing roses and flowers, and he loved poetry. And I think he was quite a fans man, and he respected the opinion of fans. And I can say that because when he first came to the park and realized in 1976 that the organ occupied 10 box seats in a very prominent place, he swiftly moved the organ back to a corner, an obscure corner, and put 10 box seats back there that could sell for a lot of money. And with that, a petition was circulated requesting that I be back with the fans. And so the second homestand, sure enough, I was back with the fans. And he didn't do that because I asked him. I was too afraid of the guy. I was intimidated. But, yeah, and I didn't have much interaction with him, but I know he liked what I did because he presented me with a couple of special evenings. He had a Nancy Faust night. Gave me a nice bonus. So, I mean, that told me he liked what I did because I was able to provide music for whatever his promotion was. In those days, we didn't have the canned music to do that. So if it was a German night, I'd play all the German songs, the German national anthem or in Italian or whatever, Greek night, circus night. I was able to provide music to create the atmosphere. I think he appreciated that.
Nancy, we have less than a minute left here, but very quickly, tell me about your relationship with Harry Carey. You guys didn't really date, did you?
Oh, no. In fact, I remember when Harry became engaged to Dutchie, bless her heart, he said to me, because I used to give him a ride home once in a while, or back to, he lived at the Ambassador, at least when he was in Chicago, and I'd give him a ride, and once in a while we'd even stop for dinner, but I recall him telling me, imagine that, he said, I had to beg her to marry me. This was right before he got married. So I thought that was really saying something. He knew she was pretty special.
Well,
and she is pretty special.
Yes, indeed. And you are pretty special as well. Nancy, thank you so much for spending time with us. And I ought to talk to you every week on this show. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for listening to my story. You made it easy for me. I'm not naturally a very good speaker. So thank you, Steve. And thanks for all you do for everybody and caring for their animals.
Thank you. The great Nancy Faust on WGN. Linda Michaels is a dog trainer, but she's much more than that. I mean, this book that I'm holding in my hand, let me see how many pages, all 310 pages or so, is just amazing. It's wonderful. The Do No Harm Dog Training and Animal Behavior Handbook, forward by Mark Beckoff, who we've had on the show many times. For example, she writes about force-free dog training and why this makes such an incredible difference, and she defines what that is. I mean, we all talk about positive dog training, but what exactly is that? And what exactly, more importantly, perhaps, isn't that? There's a dog trainer who recently came to town, and he boinks dogs. He takes a rolled-up towel and with a rubber band around it, a beach towel, and throws it at the dog. Really? And people that are so desperate buy into that. She's saying, that's not necessary. We'll talk about all of that and more next week. Raisa Allaire is the executive director of Treehouse Humane Society, and we talk to shelter executive directors around Chicago frequently. And you know what? You yelled at me. One person, Raisa, yelled at me and said, why don't you talk about cats more often? Well, I love talking about cats, and I'm happy to have on this executive director, Raisa Allaire, executive director of Treehouse Humane Society. Hello, Raisa.
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, Treehouse has been a part of the Chicago scene for, I don't know, how many decades at this point in time, but I think you play an exceedingly important niche because most of the cat shelters, there's Harmony House, they're cat only as well, but I think everyone else, dogs and cats, some take in other types of animals like rabbits too, but you're dedicated to cats, and I think filling that niche is exceedingly important. Can you comment
That's right,
on? Yeah,
Steve.
Go ahead.
Yes. So Treehouse has been around since 1971, and we are cat lovers here at the shelter. We have had an eco-friendly shelter in West Rogers Park, where cats enjoy light catios, heated floors, and it's a great paradise for cats and the adopters who want to adopt a new furry friend.
Well, right. So as nice as it is, and incidentally, it is really nice, and it has all those things that you mentioned. It's still not like a home. So I would presume you want people to come in and adopt every cat they possibly can.
We sure do. And the beauty about Treehouse, too, is we offer a holistic circle of care. So in addition to the cats that love human companionship, we also work with about 1,000 volunteers throughout Chicagoland to care for outdoor community cats as well. And we also have a veterinary wellness center that we just opened up to help pet owners that are in need of affordable vet care.
Well, I think that second part, I want to talk about both those things, but I want to talk about the affordable vet care. Because what can inhibit sometimes someone from adopting a pet, cats included, is that, oh my gosh, I have limited funds and I really have an issue with paying for veterinary care. And I honestly don't know. So do you have to be an adopter of a Treehouse cat to participate in affordable veterinary care? Or can I live 35 miles away, whatever, of Treehouse and still participate even if I don't have a Treehouse cat?
Correct. The Veterinary Wellness Center, which serves since its opening up to 12,000 animals, helps folks with cats that are from Treehouse and cats that aren't from Treehouse. So we offer a range of affordable services from high-volume spay-neuter to wellness services to end-of-life care if needed.
Yeah, and that fills, again, filling a very important niche. You know, the estimates are there are as many owned cats in Chicago as there are unowned cats. Now, no one knows if that's true. And what I mean by unowned are cats that are living on their own, sometimes called feral cats. Community cats, I think, is a more proper, politically correct term at this point in time. Call them what you want. They're out there. And they may serve a purpose, which we can talk about, but they are out there. And what's great is that we don't want so many out there where they don't continue to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. So tell me about what your volunteers do with community cats.
Thanks, Steve. That's correct. We work with communities and neighbors to take care of cats, outdoor cats that are already there. So we help citizens trap the cats. We spay, neuter, and vaccinate the kitties and register the cats as part of a colony through the Cook County ordinance that we have to follow. And again, these volunteer caretakers provide food, they provide water, they provide shelter when it's cold outside, and we check in with them at least once or twice a year to see how their colony is doing. And again, it's to control the homeless population of kitties and just to make sure that cats are a productive citizen of our neighborhoods.
And we don't get, like, overwhelmed, which would not be a good thing for those cats because many then would not survive. It wouldn't be a good thing for us, you know, either. So it is the best way to lower the population numbers over time turns out to be trap, neuter, and return. As far as I know, do you agree with that?
Correct. And vaccinate.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to forget that part. And that's really important because there's a public health issue here. And you do vaccinate those cats for rabies, correct?
Correct. Correct.
And that is really important as well. You know, at one time, some time ago, those cats were taken in and the attempt to adopt those cats was made. Now, some of those cats are formerly owned, and they are friendly cats that can make wonderful companions. However, many are not. Can you talk about why you don't take them into the shelter, Raisa?
Right. So for cats that are afraid of humans or don't thrive in home settings, we definitely try to return them back to their neighborhood with a dedicated colony caretaker. Again, we learn that behavior is, you know, socialization is a spectrum. But for the cats that are feral and aren't and cannot thrive in homes, we definitely make sure that we return them to the neighborhood with a dedicated colony caretaker, and they're fed, they're provided water, a shelter, and they're able to thrive outdoors.
And I would argue that's the best thing to do for those cats as well, because they are feral and terrified of humans. And yeah, you can make a change with some of these cats over time, not all of them necessarily, but yeah, some of them can make very good pets. After 6 months or maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years of working with that cat. In the meantime, if you put that cat in a shelter situation, that cat is terrified. Perhaps thinking,
exactly.
Yeah, perhaps literally thinking I'm going to die. What's more, you're taking up space for a potentially adoptable cat, right?
Correct. And Treehouse is a managed admission shelter, so there are only so many spaces that we have. So we want to make sure that we're putting cats in the environment where they can thrive the best. And sometimes that's outdoors, and sometimes it's indoors, or sometimes it's in a working cat placement.
How many cats are at Treehouse?
Currently, we are at the start of kitten season now, but at the swell of it, we handle about maybe between 100 to 150 cats. At the start of the swell of the kitten season that's coming.
Yeah. And how many cats typically do you adopt over the course, say, 2023? How many did you adopt out?
Yes, between adoptions and cat placements, we usually average between 1,000 to 1,100. And then in terms of our caretakers that care for about 3,000 outdoor cats.
Which is amazing. I want to talk about fostering. You know, when we talk about fostering, we typically talk dogs, but we're going to talk cats. Some special events you may want to attend, too, the Treehouse is having at their facility. And how, if you like coffee, you might even like Treehouse more. When we come back on WGN. Raisa Allaire is the executive director of Treehouse Humane Society in Chicago in West Rogers Park on Western Avenue. What's your address?
It is 7225 Northwestern Avenue.
And let's say I'm interested in adopting a kitty cat or an adult cat. Could I just come in, or do I need an appointment? How does that work?
We prefer that you make an appointment so we can have a dedicated adoption counselor help you. And it's very easy. You can visit treehouseanimals.org and click on Adopt, and you can make an appointment online.
I'm so glad you said dedicated adoption counselors. And yes, you meant probably dedicated to help you, the person coming in. But these are jobs that people who do them are incredibly dedicated to those jobs, Raisa. And if you describe, this is so important, I think, so I want to make a point of it. If you describe, oh, I've got 12 kids at home. Well, poor you. But I have 12 kids at home, and we're always running all over the place. This is the kind of cat, you know, our cat. On the other hand, if you're coming in and you say, I'm 128 years old, I don't do a lot, you might get a completely different kind of cat. The adoption counselors will try to be a matchmaker. Is that right?
That is correct. They ask you questions and have a conversation with you to figure out what kind of lifestyle and what kind of cat will best fit your lifestyle. And they know all the cats on the floor and will make hopefully a great match for you.
Indeed. I want to talk about coffee. If you like coffee, why should you come to Treehouse?
Yes, because we have a cat cafe on our ground floor, and the cat cafe features great coffee by Metropolis Coffee, plus feline leukemia kitties that are available for adoption.
You know, it was thought at some point in time, and I don't want to talk in great detail about this, but it really was thought. I remember it wasn't that long ago where cats with feline leukemia could not be and would not be adopted out. Some of the shelters would instantly euthanize them. We know a lot more about feline leukemia than we did at that point in time. And these cats can and typically do live with proper veterinary care a very long time, as do cats with the feline immunodeficiency virus, or FIV. They can make, and often do make, typically make, with proper veterinary care, Raisa, really good pets, just as good as any other cat, I think.
That's correct. We have hundreds and hundreds of successful matches where families have adopted cats from Treehouse with feline leukemia, or FIV, and they've had such wonderful, wonderful stories.
You know, I would argue, there's no data to support what I'm about to say, but I'll say it, that cats with FIV in particular live as longer lives, actually, than another cat. And the reason for that is because it's drilled in so much. Anytime your cat looks at you strangely, run to the vet. So people do get proactive veterinary care for these cats. And the result is that they see the veterinarian more often. Therefore, things can be found more quickly. And I'd argue that these cats typically may even live longer. What do you think?
That's a great hypothesis. I don't have any evidence of that, but I do know that from stories that I've heard from adopters of feline leukemia cats or FIV cats, they are pretty sensitive to their cats' behaviors and attuned with them. And so I think there's you're onto something. But no proof.
No proof. I know that. Let's talk about some events that you have coming up.
We do. We have a whole series of spring and summer activities at Treehouse that we're very excited about. So Treehouse will be joining the Bissell Pet Foundation Empty the Shelters in May, where we are offering adult cats for adoption at just $50. And you can visit treehouseanimals.org for more information. And on May 18th, our favorite orange tabby, Garfield, will be doing a photo op at Treehouse. The Garfield movie is playing exclusively in theaters beginning Memorial Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
And so you can hopefully take a picture with Garfield and maybe a bowl of spaghetti. And you can learn more at treehouseanimals.org. And then in addition, on May 25th, we are having a pet party community pop-up at Humboldt Park, where we're partnering with Kelly Hall YMCA to offer free rabies, distemper vaccines, microchipping for both dogs and cats, giveaways. And then also we will be offering some human services, information and resources on housing, mental health, and physical health.
Well, you know, housing, first of all, I was going to ask you about housing being an issue, and that's a serious issue. Before I ask you about that, tell me about spaghetti.
I believe Garfield loves spaghetti.
I had no idea. I didn't know that. All right.
The things
you learned.
I'm not sure what the photo op will look like, but he may have a bowl of spaghetti with him. So, but it should be fun for families and pet lovers of orange tabbies, so it should be a great free event for our community.
And to be clear, you are not encouraging people to feed their cats spaghetti.
No, not at all.
I didn't think so. No. Housing is an issue, and it's more of a dog issue than a cat issue, but there are increasingly places that don't allow any pets, including cats. Particularly in urban areas, this is increasingly a problem. Have you noticed the same?
We have, mostly for dogs is what we're hearing through our peers. In terms of cat adoptions, we've been fortunate to see growth in cat adoptions, and I know a lot of our peers have had as well. I think the issue of housing restrictions is really the big dogs. For us, you know, once a treehouse cat, always a treehouse cat, so if someone's financial or family or housing situation changes, we do take the treehouse cat back and try to rehome the kitty. Obviously, we'll provide other resources to see if there's something in our wheelhouse that we can help keep families together.
Yes, indeed. And Treehouse is really good at that. And you mentioned the opportunity to get low-cost veterinary care earlier. I want to repeat that. And that is right there on Western Avenue where you're located, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Give me the address once again.
Treehouse is at 7225 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago, corner of Western and Tui.
Raisa Allaire, Executive Director, Treehouse Humane Society. I have one more question for you.
Yes.
When you took the job, what was it, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
6 years ago.
Okay, when you took the job 6 years ago, you took that job. What have you learned about cats, just one sentence, in that 6 years that you didn't previously know?
Cats have, they're special, special creatures, and each has a unique personality. I have three of my own, so I adopted a treehouse kitty recently, and they're just amazing creatures that help with loneliness, mental health, when you have a difficult day. Again, I think I knew this when taking the job, but it's been, I've had a front row seat to see the human-animal bond quite closely, and it's just, it's been amazing.
All right, there she is with her front row seat, Raisa Allaire, who's contributed greatly to the Chicago animal welfare scene, Treehouse Humane Society, treehouseanimals.org, is that right?
That is correct, Steve.
I thought so. Thank you, Raisa.
Thanks, Steve.
In part because Chicago has been named repeatedly the rattiest city. I've been talking about this for a very long time, and that's something called leptospirosis, which can absolutely be prevented in dogs with a vaccination. Here's what leptospirosis is. It's a bacterial infection. It's spread by wildlife. It can be wildlife we commonly see in the city, raccoons and coyotes for sure. What are some other squirrels? Any rodent, mice, and speaking of rodents, number one on the list that spreads leptospirosis are city rats. Yeah, that's right. And we have no shortage of them in Chicago. New York City has no shortage of rats either, right? So they now have a problem. People are getting sick from leptospirosis. So yes, dogs can get sick. People can get sick from city rats, but also from their dog. So anytime that there's urine, it's transmitted via urine of an infected animal, a person touches, say, a trash can, right, and doesn't wash their hands, a trash can where a rat had been, or maybe the dog with lepto has an accident in the house and you don't wash your hands appropriately. Well, now you can get sick too. So New York City is saying, enough is enough. We're taking action. Here's what they're doing. They are putting rats on birth control. You heard me right. I mean, they're encouraging people not to use those plastic bags we see all the time on New York City streets. And it's become such a deal that Mayor Eric Adams has gotten involved in this whole thing. It's a contraceptive, the birth control. It's called ContraPest, and it contains a fatty, salty pellet, which rats really apparently like. Does it work? Doesn't it work? What does the Pope have to say about this? We'll find out next week, bright and early on WGN.